We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6.
Jesus, we just want to commit this time into you, ask you, Holy Spirit, to be the teacher. We ask you to open our hearts, help us to be wide open and allow you to search us, to teach us, to transform us, to bring us into oneness with your heart, your ways, your thoughts. And I ask that you would heal hearts here tonight and minds, and Lord, you would help to bring clarity and unity with you, your purpose, your vision. Thank you, Jesus. Help Sue, help Janaya as she is teaching, and I just ask that you would just anoint her and anoint our ears to hear. Thank you, Jesus.
Proverbs chapter 24, verse 6.
Proverbs 24:6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety.
So this is what we talked about at my house today. Who sits on your war council? I was reading the other day. I was reading in Proverbs, and where it talks about, I came across that verse, and it's saying that by wise counsel wars are made, and I was like, that's kind of weird, like kind of a weird thing to say. And so I just was like, counselors, okay, we need counselors in our life. And I started just like going, I went back to Kings and just going through the Old Testament and looking. And it's every king that there was had counselors, like just over and over, hundreds of times in the Old Testament it talks about evil kings and good kings, that they had these councils that would advise them in how to make war, what steps they should make, what strategies they should have, which battles they should fight, and which ones they should initiate. So the bad kings happened to have really bad counselors that weren't seeking God. You know, they were mostly yes men who would say whatever the king wanted to hear, which a lot of people, you know, surround themselves with that. In our flesh, that's who we would want to surround ourselves with, our yes men, who are going to just kind of like appease us and say, you know, false prophets are like, yes, we speak peace unto you in the name of God and all of that. But the godly kings, they surrounded themselves with godly counselors who would seek after God, who would just pray and before God get and say, what should I advise him? Because what those counselors say is going to be the determine the future of the whole nation for Israel. And so as I was looking at it and saying, wow, God, how does that apply personally to me? Because I'm not going to war, you know? And it was like, but actually we are. I think it's Ephesians that says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of this air. And we are in a battle every day. That's why he tells us to put on the entire armor of God. It's a daily thing that we need to be putting on our armor. People don't walk around in peacetime with armor on, you know? They're not walking around with their guns and their swords and ready to go to battle during a peacetime. So there's a reason that God's telling us to put on our armor, and it's because we are at battle. And we need to keep our minds in that. If you look up 2 Corinthians 10 about the weapons of our warfare, we need to be, like, we walk around, and a lot of times we talk about how what we see, like in this physical realm, seems to be more real. But this is actually what is not important. And we need to be living in a spiritual realm, because that's where the battle's taking place. There's a battle for our mind. Every thought has to be brought into captivity of Christ, you know? We need to be battling for our spirit. What spirit are we living? Are we operating in God's spirit or in the devil's spirit? Go ahead.
For though we walk, I'm sorry, I'm in 2 Corinthians 10. I'm starting with verse 3, I hope. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
So we're not wrestling against, we're not warring against people. Like if somebody really makes you angry or they offend you, it's really not that person. And it's way easier for me to say, you know, Leida, you really offended me and it was you and you were doing, but it's really not her. It's really the devil coming against maybe something God was doing, or maybe I was in a bad spirit, you know? And it's really a spirit-to-spirit thing, and we need to, like, keep ourselves aware of that. Casting down every imagination. I was talking to someone the other day about they weren't wanting to talk. They were struggling and said, I just don't want to talk. I just want to keep it to myself, and I don't want to talk about it. It's, you know, uncomfortable. And I said, but you're believing lies. And because you're believing lies, and then the devil, he isolates us, and like he lies to us, yep. And then says, now don't say that out loud. Because if you say that out loud, someone's going to think you are stupid. Someone is going to think that you are just wacko, you know? There's nobody that thinks like you. Nobody's going to understand what you're going through. So just keep silent and isolate yourself and withdraw. That's totally what he wants us to do. And then he can take and just twist and pervert everything inside of us until we are so bound up in this, like, chain. And what we need to do is surround ourselves with a good war council because we're at battle. And if a king didn't surround himself, his country was going to be taken from him. There was just, he didn't have a chance. So as I continued reading, I looked in Ezra chapter 7, and it talked about there being seven counselors. And in, yes. And in Proverbs chapter 15, it says, you know, in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. And I was just like, that is so awesome how we need to surround ourselves, but who should we be surrounding ourselves with? And the first thing would obviously be that we need to be taking our counsel from the Word of God. That should be our foundation, what we're building everything on. If we don't know God's Word, how do we know that the people that we're surrounding ourselves with are giving us truth from God? So we need to be daily. In Psalms chapter 1, it talks about how a righteous man meditates day and night in the law of God in the first couple of verses. Instead of sitting in the seat of scorners or sitting in the council of the ungodly. So we need to be just like delving into that and like getting it to where we just, when we go to say something, a verse comes to mind, either agreeing with what we're about to say or do or warning us that we need to be stopping. Every single thing, bringing every thought captive into the captivity of Christ, because that's where it starts. That's like where the planning stages are for our battles, for our war. But we need to surround ourselves also, when we have our foundation in the Word, then we need to surround ourselves. We need to be planted in the body that God has us planted in so that we are under the right authorities. So that we know, if I'm underneath, you know, like God gave me to Harvey and Sue. So they are my parental authorities. So growing up, if they told me I should go and do something, I might not have agreed with it, but if I was in the right spirit, I didn't really have to say, God, is this your will for me to go and obey my parents? You know, I have a foundation of children obey your parents, and these are your parents. So God wants me to do what he just told me to do. You know, I don't have to question that. And so we need to, first of all, get planted in the right body and put ourselves under the authority that God has placed. And when you're under the authority that God's put you under, then you're in their spirit, and he's giving them wisdom. You know, God doesn't give all of you guys maybe some wisdom of how to raise Tempe, but he has to give me wisdom on how to raise Tempe, or we would be in serious trouble, because that girl has got a mind of her own. So, you know, for every situation, I can't even say, okay, this is what God said to do last time, so this is it from now on. You know, put her in a tray and tell her she's in timeout. That doesn't even work every time. I have to be going to God and willing to get the wisdom and ask him, what is your heart? How do I break this stubbornness and this rebellion and this anger? How do I break it out of Tempe? How do I develop Hudson into who he's supposed to be? God has put them inside of my spirit because I'm their mom. And God is, you know, he doesn't put them in maybe somebody else's spirit because he didn't give them to that person. So for the authority that God's put you under, he has also placed us in their spirit so that when they see things inside of us, they can pray into that. And God, how do I help develop this person into who you've created them to be? How do I help them walk into their call? So that's like, you know, get in the Word, get in the right body, under the right authorities. And then you've got to have accountability partners. You've got to surround yourself with people, your friends, the people that are your peers. I mean, you can't always be in a bubble. You know, it'd be really great if we lived in this like burning bush bubble. You know, we never had to like encounter the outside world. But, no? But that's not like where we live, you know? If we did, we'd have a very different kind of battle going on. But we wouldn't reach anybody. And but we need to have ourselves surrounded with people that we know, first of all, love God and are seeking after Him. I wouldn't choose an accountability partner as somebody who is like, I show up to church when it's convenient for me. I'll read my Bible when I've got nothing better to do. And, you know, that's about that. So every other bit of my life is all about me and what I want to do. I wouldn't choose them to be my accountability partner because I don't think that they're going to, first of all, be able to hear from God very clearly because they're double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we need to be checking, God, who do you want my accountability partners to be? And watching them, see the fruits in their life. Because if someone is walking with Christ, you're going to see that in the fruits and how they live. Are they loving and full of peace? And do you see them making good choices in their own life? And then not just one. It's really not a very good idea to have just one accountability partner because in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom and there is safety. So, because somebody could have an off day or just miss it. But it's, you know, it's just really awesome to think about, like, you know, what if just as Apostle Harvey, being the apostle of my dad, being the apostle of this work, you know, if he could surround himself with, and he tries to, with the leadership, with other people that he knows love God and have a heart for God and are willing to say, I'm going to pray for you as the lead of this whole ministry to be making good choices. And it's for their own benefit, but it's for his benefit and it's for the entire body, you know? And then when decisions are going to be made, he's going to them and saying, look, we're faced with this choice. We're faced with this decision that I need to make about burning bush. And ultimately, I have to answer to God for that because I'm the apostle. So, you know, I need you to be in prayer. And he needs to know that the people he's going to ask that of will really seek God for that. And we need to know that for our individual things because we might not be leading an entire body, but we are leading our own life, but we're leading everybody around us. Whether we want to be known as a leader or we want people to follow us or not, they do. Because that's pretty much, if you're here, you're probably a leader because that's what seems to flock here is leaders, you know, because it's a training place. And so people are following us. And we need to be aware of that and have people praying for us and speaking into us all the time. So that was pretty much what I shared about that. You want me to segue into the other? Okay, segue. So in that whole accountability partner thing, like, it's not really a segue, so just switch. Well, okay, let's just bring up, yeah, we're just going to switch subjects now into talking about Apostle Steve with the repentance and all of that and see, you know, examining yourself and everything. Because as, I mean, I've not been perfect since Wednesday. You know, I mean, I made a list. I had, like, I don't even know, 20 things I listed out. And I heard other people say stuff out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm guilty of that one, too. I definitely have that one, you know. And I could have gone on for hours, I'm sure. And if I quit, you guys could have given me more. So, and I was, you know, telling God, I don't want these things. I only want Jesus living in me and all of that. But we do live in a battle. It's kind of in the same thing that we live here right now. And we're not in heaven. We're not in our glorified bodies. You know, we haven't crossed over into that perfection that we'll get to be. We still have to deal with sin on a daily basis. And, like, God doesn't normally come down and say, hey, you have 53 things wrong with you, and bam, I'm after every single thing right now, and I don't expect you to walk in any of them ever again. That is not the way that God deals with us, because He is a good and gracious God, and we couldn't do that. So we kind of just wanted to mention that, and that also when you do, like, kind of bring things before God, that there comes attack. As soon as you make a decision of any kind for God, that you want to live for Him, that you want to, you know, battle some spirit that you've been operating in, there's going to be retaliating spirits that are going to do everything they can to, like, just attack you and defeat you and get you to stop what you're doing because they don't want to lose any ground. But God normally comes after one thing. He, you know, the goodness of God leads to repentance. And He comes in And we were talking this morning about this and how we say, you know, like a thief would say, I want to stop stealing. So that's what I'm going after. I'm going to quit stealing. But God wants, yeah, He wants you to quit stealing. But there's a reason that you steal. And He wants to get to the root of that. We've talked about that a lot here. But this morning we were talking about how when we try to pick the topic of what we want God to, like, get out of our lives, we usually pick a behavioral thing. We want to stop a certain behavior. And God, while He wants behaviors to change, that's a fruit of Him getting rid of a deeper issue. You know, there's healing and there's things that He needs to do. And He knows the order in which to go after something in order to get the entire root system. He's really not looking for a quick fix. You know, it's not a 5-minute oil change. He's, you know, he wants to do a complete overhaul on everything. And it takes, you have to start at a certain spot before you can go, you know, and get what it is you're after in the behavior. So, like, my advice to my people this morning and to all of you is to kind of just put away the list that you made and don't look at several items. Just don't even think about what the list you made. Ask God, what is the one thing right now that you're after in me? There's one thing, you know? And He's not, like, out to destroy you. He is so gentle. And it might shock you what He says He's after. It might not even be, He might not even tell you He's coming to change something right now. He might say, I need to pour some healing in you. I really want to pour some love in you in this area because you've been really wounded. So don't, you know, trap God into a box of, what sin do I have to get rid of now? You know, it's not like that. And I wanted to encourage you that if you've been under attack, you know, like, talk to somebody. That's why you need to have accountability partners that can, people that you're talking to that can speak into and say, like, hey, man, you're, like, getting down on yourself. You're getting into total self-condemnation. And Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So you're believing lies. And, So, you know, we'll kind of open that up. Has anybody been experiencing that kind of stuff this week?
I want you to stay there because I want you to deal with this. Because I'm liking the way you said it better. Yeah. Okay. One thing. We believe that God zeroes in with a rifle and a scope and doesn't come after us with a shotgun. Okay? Now, let's take Sue and I. Brother Steve preached that night, and you need to go home and ask God what He wants to change or whatever. And Sue prayed, and she got one thing. Harvey prayed, and he got one thing. But then when we came in here and everybody else had 10 or 20 or 30, we thought, maybe we're just not, you know, we're forgetting what God's already told us. We're trying to do what Steve said. See, you can't follow a man. You have to follow God. Okay? Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. But I'm just telling you what, yeah. And it's not, we're not saying Steve did something wrong or something. We're saying how the enemy could have got in here. And here's the thing. So then afterwards, remember how I was taking and I said, what sins or whatever, we're writing them all down. I must have come up with 400 or something, you know, whatever it was. And I'm going, yeah, I don't want those living in me. So here's what you do with your list. You hold your list up to God and you say, God, you see these? I don't want them. And He says, good, because I don't either. Okay? And you say, but Lord, you know what I need. So you deal with me. And He's like, thanks. Let's pretend I'm God. You know? And then He knows what to deal with. Because like Sue said, like Janiah said, you may need. You may need healing in an area. You may need to be loved on. There's somebody I was just talking to. I remember now. And it's like I told him. I said, you need to be loved on. Because like what I was talking about this morning in 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. If you haven't known the love of God, or you haven't believed the love because you've had rejection or people putting performance and you're accepted if you perform, and we've all had that to us, and we haven't matured in God, matured in love, to that place where we know that we are unconditionally loved and accepted even when we mess up. If we haven't got to that place, then when we look at this list, it's like, oh, I got to do all this list or I won't be accepted. We're not accepted because we do better. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God commended us, showed, demonstrated His love toward us, in that while we were rotten, low-down, sorry, scumbait sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were good guys wearing suits and ties and looking good. He doesn't love you better if you do better. I don't know if you got that. He doesn't love you better if you do better. Do you know who needs the most love? The one that deserves it the least. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Here's Barabbas, and Jesus is loving him. Here's the thief on the cross, and Jesus is loving him. Here's Jesus on the cross, and these people who are nailing Him and spitting on Him and crucifying Him and mocking Him. In love, He chooses, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had to have love to do that. Right? Take your list. Tell God, God, I don't want this. You know, I don't want these in my life. And that's good. Now, throw the list away. Because God don't need a list. And then you just ask Him, Lord, what do You want to deal with me about? I want whatever You want. Let me give you another clue. When you realize you're wrong in an area, this goes in your life, your whole life, every day. Okay, Nathan? Because this is on the test, okay? Every day, when you realize you're wrong about something, quickly admit it. I'm wrong. Jesus, please forgive me for causing you pain through that sin. Jesus, I want to bring my life under Your blood. 1 John 1:9, you need to memorize that. If we confess our sin, not hide, not blame shift, if we confess our sin, He, Jesus, is faithful. I don't feel like doing it today, Nathan. You're going to have to deal with this yourself. No. He says He's faithful. You come to Him, you confess it. He's faithful every single time. And He's just to forgive us. Why is He just? Because He says, give me that sin. And He says, I can take care of this because I nailed it to the cross. I've already paid for this. Thanks for giving it to me. It's done. It is finished. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Past, forgiven. Cleansed, right up to the present. Forgiven, up to the present. And to cleanse us from the present into the future, from all unrighteousness, if we confess our sin. As soon as you realize, don't let the devil beat you up. You're terrible, you did this, you got angry, you're a bad mom, you've done it 15,000 times, and I am so disappointed in you. God doesn't act like that. When you have all that accusation coming at you, that's the enemy. God doesn't treat you like that. You listen to the wrong spirit. So to get out from being beat up, you quickly, the Bible says, agree with thine adversary quickly. The devil says, you're guilty, and you're saying, you're absolutely right. I bring myself under the blood of Jesus. He goes, darn! They did it again. It's all gone. I don't have any foothold in their life. There's nothing I can accuse them of. They already agreed. I bring myself under the blood of Jesus. Jesus, please forgive me. Thank You for forgiving me. I sure do love You. Do you see how it makes you just love Him more? And do you see how it gets the devil off your back? Is anybody getting this? Could this help you? So you don't live in guilt. You don't want to live in guilt and burden, manipulation, pressure, all that stuff. And retaliation spirits. Whenever we have like a meeting, the devil's going to come against you. I don't know if you know this or not. Did you know that God moves at the sound of your voice? Did you know that God actually answers prayer? It's not a myth. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Everyone that asks receives. Everyone that asks receives. You take authority over those Antichrist spirits. No retaliation spirit coming against me because of this meeting. No retaliation spirit because of the decisions I'm making. And they're like, dude, you just shut us out. That's not fair. Say, take it up with Jesus. He gave me that privilege. I'm just working by the rules. You just need to know the rules, how to play the game. That's how you play this game of life. You just totally depend on Jesus. I want you to keep going. I just wanted to throw stuff in. I waited long enough.
I was going to say, too, when he does reveal the one thing, like whatever it is he's after, look for verses on that. I was talking to Pastor Sue about that, like before, when talking about wanting to come against, you know, whatever God's after, and she was talking about how we should look in the Scripture and find all the verses you can find on that topic, even if it's, he's saying, I want to love you. Good. Go start reading verses on love. But, you know, if he's coming after to get something out of your life, if you're looking at verses on that, it'll help keep perspective, too, of like, how does he want me to respond to this? How do I come against it? What are his weapons against this? What's the opposite spirit? How do I see it so that I can have repentance and so that you're keeping his perspective to not get into self-condemnation and everything?
You know how we're always saying, I rebuke you, Satan? Well, Michael the archangel dared not bring any railing accusation against Satan. What he did say to him was, the Lord rebuke you. Sometimes you feel like you rebuke, and they don't go away. Well, I tried saying, the Lord rebuke you, and they were gone instantly. Jesus lives in you, and he does not want any evil spirit in you. You have his authority to tell them, the Lord rebukes you, and they leave.
Yep.
Good thought. Because see, a lot of times we've ended up doing that in anger or vengeance, and those are bad spirits.
Bad spirits.
So, the reason I think God gave Sue revelation on that verse, because I never understood it before. God's not disappointed. I was 34 years in the Scriptures, and I still didn't get it. Where it said, Michael, I think it's in Jude, and it says, Michael the archangel durst not bring railing accusation against the devil, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. Why? Because if he would have rebuked him, he would have been in a bad spirit. And then he would have had sin. And he was so afraid to even get anywhere near that because he knew he would lose his place with God. So we need to be careful not to give the devil a foothold in our lives.
We just wanted to open it up like because we just, if anybody's been under attack or been, you know, feeling that, like retaliating spirits coming against them or like they've just, you know, I keep failing and I can't do this, any of that, we wanted to open it up to... for you to be able to share and get prayer. And I just encourage you guys to have like accountability partners and stuff so that you're not isolating yourself and like getting into that because it's really important. Because that's what the devil wants to do is like...
overwhelm.
Right. He either wants to tell you everything is good and you're totally doing great or he wants to like just bombard you with it to where you just can't get free of it. God's job to get the sin out, not ours. Yeah. Like this morning Dave said... you know, we so focus on our sin, but God doesn't focus on our sin. He's not obsessed with it like we are. No. He focuses on our righteousness because he sees us through the blood of Jesus, you know? So we're like so obsessed with like what we've done wrong, and he's just like, could you look up here at me for a minute, you know, and let me speak into you rather than you like focusing so much on that speck of dust, you know. That's not a problem for me. Look up here. So.